Are there any requirements for the trainer who would like to provide this workshop? Because in our project, we also will organize the workshops for trainees. But before, we will make any person would like to become digital storytelling trainer. Are there any requirements? Should I know something before participating in your educator's trainer or no?
Probably this is a question for Alison, because you came to one of our Train the Trainers workshops. So, and would be nice to hear from your experience, what you knew before and what you found difficult or exciting.
That's a good question. So I hadn't realised how participatory it was, but I learned that as I went along. I knew how to use some digital video editing software because I'd done that as a teacher with children. But I can't really think of anything I would have needed to have known. Part of the joy of the activity was learning as I went along, really. And it isn't a standard teaching. As Antonia said, it's not teaching. It's not a formal thing that you need to be seen as the expert. It is the feeling I got from it, Antonia, I don't know if this is correct, but it was just a very, very much a communal activity. And am I making sense? I can't think of anything that would have helped me to know, really. It was the way the workshops were run was very much, I thought I was a participant, but if I saw somebody struggling, I'd jump over and show them something that I knew how to do and they didn't. And I don't think any training beforehand would have made that any different, really.
So just to from the other perspective, because I run a good number of Train the Trainers activities during the year, I would never ask to come prepared. So I would never ask to you know, read papers before coming to a training on digital storytelling or to practice on video editing or script writing. The reason why I'm saying this is also because each facilitator would be different and each facilitator would bring in their own skills and their own knowledge into the room in which they are going to run their own workshops. And the beauty of it is that it's adaptable as a tool and is versatile and requires mainly personal skills. So it's about transferable skills. It's about being open, being, you know, not being afraid of saying, actually, I don't know this. Because there are things I don't know and I still learn every time I run a workshop. That can be technical aspects. So for instance, to give you an example, when we run the Train the Trainers, and Alison was part of that as a trainee, was an international group of people. And of course, we were relying on Alison being a creative writer to actually give us some help in revising the script. And of course, she's British, so her first language is English. So it's about making sure that as a facilitator, you are open to identify the skills that other people have in the room and make them active in the group to facilitate that mutual learning. So it's not about us knowing something very well. It's about us being open to recognize what the other people are good at and making them and recognize what they are good at and what they can bring in the room in that space to make this space, you know, a place for everyone to feel happy to share what they know and what they are able to, let's say, teach other people, even if it's not a teaching activity. So it's about learning from each other and be open to that and recognizing, you know, it's not about having everything under control. It's exactly the opposite. It's being ready to, you know, to a messy environment in which you really understand people's priorities. Another example, as we said, the importance of inclusion, participation. For instance, we always think about timekeeping. So we have an agenda. We need to go through some of the activities within a specific time frame, but sometimes we can't. So you cannot. So even if you decide, oh, I'm going to give each participant 5 minutes to share their story in the story circle. But if you realize that that person finally, after years, is sharing a very important story for them in a sort of a healing process, and they want to talk for 12 minutes or 15 minutes, so the priority is not keeping an eye on the time. The priority is making sure that those people feel heard and happy and actually they realize the value of being heard. So it's more about human skills and being a nice human being and being ready to recognize, to make connections with other people. That's the main skill I would hope each digital storytelling facilitator could develop and feel free to share. Because sometimes, I teach, for my job is about teaching, and of course I have a more formal approach when I teach in a classroom with a university student. But sometimes we are afraid to show our sort of human side, the human side of our life. Whereas in digital storytelling is exactly the opposite. We don't have to be afraid to share our human values, because the creative process is based on those human values.
Thank you, Antonia and Alison. It was interesting to hear two both perspectives, and it gives hope that a lot of people with being motivated can become digital storytelling, can use this method, their activities, educational activities.
Yeah, just to follow on to what you just said, and it doesn't need to be an individual, just one person doing that. You might find useful to work with a colleague or a friend, because for instance, let's say I'm very shy, so I don't think I'm good at facilitating this part of the process, but I realize I'm very good with technology and sound recording, these kind of things. So it doesn't mean that we all have to be able to run all the five steps if we feel that it's going against our way of being. But it's about understanding what we can offer. So for instance, if I have to run a workshop with Alison, I would say, Alison, could you please do the script writing step? because I recognize her value in that, and I think that would be fantastic.